Okay, legends, we are back in the Chat with the Hat studios, and I have a very, very important guest with us tonight, as well as my little millennial mate, Rowan, who's joined us again this week. And welcome to Motorsport Kiwi, Jaden Abden?
Aben.
Aben. Yeah. Got that wrong. Got that right.
It's from
New Zealand. And he's the Prince of New Zealand, because the King of New Zealand is Greg Murphy. We all know that. And he's joined us tonight as a special guest host. And we've got some words. We've got a lot of words to talk about. We've got Taupo coming up. For the ones that
very
have
excited.
Listened to our very last year, we had a Jaden on the potty. And we talked about he was the driving force behind the wildcard, the fan engagement for the wildcard with Boost, and getting Richie Stanaway and Greg Murphy back onto the circuit with Erebus. And he started the campaign, it got traction, and then basically it turned into a juggernaut, didn't it?
Oh, mate, like still to this day, you know, a year and a half later, 2 years later, since the race had happened, you know, like I still can't believe that we managed to make that happen. You know, like for years I was going, oh, there's no way that Murph will come back. There's no way. And then after Richie walking away too, I thought that was a done deal. So to get both of them back, it's like, holy, you know, we made something cool happen. You know,
well, we can swear here, but not a lot. That's all fine.
Yeah. I'll get there.
Yeah, it's all good. All right, Rowan, been a couple of weeks since we've caught up. We saw each other at the Melbourne GP, and we've had pretty much zero racing. Thank you, Supercars, since then. So, hey, what have you been up to, buddy?
Not a lot, mate. It's been pretty quiet on this end of the fence. So just kicking back, relaxing, just, you know, enjoying the time off in between motorsports. Well, you know, watching the 6 hour, obviously, on the Easter weekend and Suzuka last weekend. But other than that, I've been doing sweet FA.
Typical millennial. All right, boys, let's get into it. So let's kick this off. We've got a long list. We'll try and get this one done short and sharp.
yeah,
that's a lie. I want to start the podcast off with paying my respects, and I'm sure for everybody, to Bev Brock, the passing of Bev this week, the ultimate lady of motorsport. Sad news, and very much loved. And from all the people who I've never met Bev, but all the people that I've spoken who have, she still, all the way up to this year, was still working with the fans and loved meeting the fans at different events and motorsport events. So, yes, condolences to the family.
Yeah
definitely very sad news to wake up to on, I think it was Monday morning. So it was, very sad. I myself never got to meet Bev or Peter there. The only two racing identities that I've never got to meet that I always wanted to. So, but you know, the original queen of the supercars paddock, that's for sure, and it's a great loss for the sport.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I think, you know, when you look back at the history of the sport, you know, there's always going to be those kind of people that were supporting those heroes. You know, like they couldn't have done it without just massive kind of passion and strength of the partners that were there through those times. You know, it wouldn't have been easy, you know, going away and doing what they did and being in the public eye. And you know, she even after, you know, Peter's passing, she's continued his legacy well. And you know, it's a shame to see, you know, her pass after her battle with cancer. But, you know, she gave a lot to the sport and their fans over the time. So, you know, we can only just pay our respects and remember the times that she gave us. And again, just another legend gone, unfortunately.
Yeah, definitely. But once again, her legacy will live on, much like Peter's, that's for sure.
Definitely. Yep.
Well said, boys. Well said. So let's move on to the news. There hasn't been much racing since Melbourne. We've spoken about the short, sharp racing, which was very entertaining because of the format that they were handed, which we all love. The super sprints, I don't want to say it as a regular, but as a novelty, it did generate great racing. Especially with the whole Cam versus Matty Payne spin out. Yeah,
That was pretty tasty.
Yeah, and then Supercars released the actual radio footage.
Yeah, that was nice. Oh. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, they got to do more of that stuff. That's what the fans want to see. You know, it's like an F1 where they're releasing, you know, what they were saying and behind the scenes after the podiums and stuff like that. You know, like we want to see that kind of stuff. You know, you get a bit of banter and, you know, a bit of pretty full on stuff. Really, you know, gives you a bit better picture of what happened.
Oh, yeah. The only thing that I reckon that Cam was most angry about was that Matty Payne's car had already turned, and when he opened that door, he was on the wrong side.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
And he couldn't reach him.
Oh, Cam definitely wanted to give him a sock in the helmet, that's for sure. You could see it in his eyes, yeah.
Morris and Longhurst all over again.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
He's ripped open the door and gone, oh, shit. You're on the other side, past the other side of the bar work and the net. Oh, I'm just going to give you a mouthful. So,
but again, you know, in those moments, the adrenaline's running high. And, you know, you can imagine in that kind of situation when you're battling for the lead and then next thing you know, you've got big damage and you're parked up on the fence. It's like, nah, you know, you're going to have a lot of that kind of passion. It's going to explode. And you know, I enjoy watching, you know, drivers that are happy to, you know, let a few words out. And, you know, I've always had respect for those kind of drivers. Yeah. You know, like Schumacher at Spa, you know, after that crash, you know, that took off his wheel and
took his wheel off,
storming
yeah.
down. You know, like, I love that stuff. It's bring
that's
it
what
on,
you
know.
See. Well, that's why I've loved NASCAR for 25 years. Yeah, exactly. That's why I've loved NASCAR for 25 years.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, you know, Gacy's throwing a bonnet, like, sorry, a bumper bar onto the windscreen last round at the round before at Richmond. Like, he's just ripping off the bonnet when he got tagged and is throwing it on windscreens.
Oh, but you know, it's that kind of stuff that, you know, that's the difference between the motorsport over there and then over here. You know, the rivalries are the ones, you know, created on social media and you know, through all these news places. You know, there's not any kind of real rivalries.
It's manufactured rivalry. Yeah,
exactly. So you want to see the real stuff, and you know, like, that stuff's not manufactured. You know, you don't throw car parts at each other. You know, like, if that was fake. You know, I love that stuff. Bring it on.
Yeah, that's it. Well, I was going to say the last true rivalry we actually had in supercars. I can't think of anyone after it. Probably would have been Ambrose and Murphy. So they, you know, those two didn't like each other. It was abundantly clear,
and Scaife and Ingle
go at it. And Scaife and Ingle, but that was before, so
probably the closest we've had since would have been either, you know, Wincup and Winterbottom. You know, they came together a couple of times, or even Shane and Scott. You know, they had a bit of a rivalry going on.
Oh no, but
it wasn't respectful rivalry. But wasn't true hatred or anything, but you know, I feel like there was definitely a strong rivalry there, and you know,
I'd throw Waters and Mostert into that because I took each other out.
That is very true. That compilation's a long one, mate. That's they had a few bangs over the years.
They didn't even make the start on the warm up lap. Both cars were taken out. I think it was the Gold Coast. I think they were doing the warm up, and then all of a sudden, everyone's gridding up, and then, hang on, where the hell's the pole sitter and where's Chaz?
that kind of stuff, you know, they were a magnet for so long. And you know, I think everyone, even, you know, commentators and all, every time they're on the track together, it's like, is it going to happen again? You know, like, is it a matter of time? But I think they've finally kind of settled it, and they can now race without having bits, you know,
they're racing
off the,
for different
the side
teams
of it,
now,
you know?
So they seem to only want to crash into each other when they were racing for the same team. Ever since they've been racing for different teams, they've kind of left each other alone.
Isn't that funny, eh? You know, Tim Edwards would have been gutted. He'd be like, what's going on here, mate? You know,
oh,
like,
that's when we had
what we needed
Tim
to do a couple of years ago.
As soon as they took each other out or tapped, there was Supercars media with their camera right in Edwards' face, waiting for him to blow up and throw something in the garage again.
Like clockwork, you know, it was always going to happen, and you could see his face. It was coming.
Yeah,
I love it.
Now we've got Happy Tim now, and now we've got No Tim. He's up in.
Now we've got No Tim. He's in the box now.
MA. Yeah. Oh, well, Supercars. He's working in Burgess's role as head of motorsport. So he's.
Yep.
He can be angry at everybody universally.
Perfect.
All right, boys. So let's talk about the elephant in the room, because there was a bit of information that dropped yesterday, and
yeah.
Yeah, it was yesterday. Yeah.
Brody Kostecki has agreed to take the seat of the number one car and return to Erebus for the remainder of the season. At this point, it doesn't say that he's not. He's back in. So there's been a massive backflip, and there has been an agreement made, a compromise from, I don't know, both sides, I suppose. That's the only way compromises work. But there's been a negotiation and there's an agreement, and he's now back with Erebus, which I'll put my hand up. There was absolutely zero chance of that being on my radar, on my bingo card, that he was going back to Erebus, considering what we know about the bad blood between Barry and Brody, and all came to a head after Adelaide last year, and the statements that were made at the time and the ultimatums that were issued and the ensuing terminations and then re-employment and changing of roles and all that stuff. It looked to me like basically he was out for the season and they own his contract and won't let him even race a billy cart at the Red Bull, like Moomba billy cart race. So he's now back in the car, and it comes with some pretty explosive demands from Erebus, where he's had to give away the Boost personal sponsorship from Peter Adderton, who's been supporting him since he was a young boy, starting out all through his career, and has been his number one champion through his time at Erebus. And it's obviously not coming from Brody. It was a demand from Betty and Erebus that he remove that sponsorship and that connection, which he's had to agree to as a condition of him returning to his drive, because otherwise he is literally doing nothing for the rest of the season. And he's only got this year to go on his contract. At the end of this year, he's out. So we've got another 10 rounds to go.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say straight off the bat with the whole Brody thing, that's just a glaring example of the toxic workplace that's Erebus, when they're forcing him to remove one of his major personal sponsors, a person that's been there with him his entire career and would have continued to be with him. It just shows exactly what sort of workplace and what sort of environment it is when they're telling him, if you want to come back or you're going to come back, you're going to get rid of these people that have been there for you your whole time. That is literally what people in toxic relationships do, is they tell you you've got to remove yourself from your support group.
Yep, that is bang on. Absolute bang on. I can't believe, with everything surrounding it, that's come out. And those are the conditions to get him back. It's like, they really don't want to do themselves very much good press, because, for Peter, that must be just such a stab in the back. And, for Brody, there's two sides. You have to understand his side of it. But, to be turning away, from Peter after all he's done for Brody, he got his initial start in supercars with the wild card. He backed his first campaign as a full-time driver. He got him his NASCAR Cup start last year. That kind of stuff, he's pushed him the whole way, and he's not, even through this whole fiasco, I know that Peter and Jason have been pushing their best to try and get him back in the seat, and now to just be kind of hit like that. And this is after Brock Feeney turned away on Peter, after Peter got him to that point as well, and a few years ago. It's just such a shame to see someone who puts his money where his mouth is, supports young drivers, gets them to where they need to be when no one else will support them. And when you just continually get kind of kicked, you can't blame them for double thinking and going, should we be investing in this if this is the way that we're going to be treated?
Well, that's it. 100%. You can only take so many blows before you've had enough, can't you? So,
100%. And, for Peter, anyone that's dealt with him, I'm sure we all have, and he's just such a good bloke, he's very outspoken. He does say a lot of stuff and loves to stir it, but he tells it how it is. Every time I've dealt with him, it's just been a great experience. And, I think everyone around has enjoyed his experience as well, So I really don't understand, why, Betty and Barry, they obviously don't like a bit of banter and don't like when people just go, hey, we're calling you out on this. So it's a shame that they've gone to that extent to actually prevent him from continuing that relationship. And that's just, it's such a shame for a reigning champion for that to be the condition to come back. You know, like Brody deserves more. And, you know, like he gave him the champion a championship last year. That was every bit Brody as it was Erebus. And you know, they've got to keep that level of respect. And you know, it's not their choice. You know, it'd be different if they signed Vodafone as their main sponsor, you know, for the cars. You know, maybe then he might have to lose the Boost sponsorship, but because of a personal clash.
Petty grievances,
Mate, exactly. I am dead set waiting. I'm waiting for them to announce they have a $50 sponsorship from Vodafone or Optus so that if Brody ends up getting a pole position this year, they can just toddle off down to Shane Howard and go, oh, I want a Chaz exemption, please. Hand it out like lollies and go, we're not going to put the hat on for the podium award because we have a clash now for a $50 Vodafone or an Optus sponsor or a Telstra sponsor, anybody.
Yes.
Because at the moment, they can't claim an exemption because they hate Peter's guts. Because I don't want to is not a good reason to ignore a category sponsor. Because there is no actual commercial conflict.
Is Brody ever going to get the pole, though?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. The guy's fast enough. The cars are fast enough. We don't have an issue with the team and the mechanics and the engineers building a fast car and making a fast car. And we've got the fastest guy driving the car at Taupo next in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I think it'll be interesting to see if that dynamic is going to be the same. Because, you know, a lot has happened since their last time racing together, Brody and Erebus. You know, the you know, some of the cores, you know, like Shannon's left and you know, they've had a few changes and I think, you know, it would be everything's gotta work to be really successful in supercars. You know, you need all the bits, piece of the puzzle, and I don't know, you know, will that dynamic be the same? Will it work the same? I don't know.
Well, it all depends,
I think,
if Barry Ryan is in the garage.
For sure.
Because he's no longer team principal, and this was part of the stipulation that Brody made at the end of last year with the ultimatum to Betty. It's him or me. It was very clear.
Mm.
So Barry gets sacked, completely sacked, and then gets rehired as the CEO, but loses his role as the team principal. The team let out with a out of the blue statement that they're spinning it as they do. Mate, I have not seen more spin coming out of one particular organization than I've seen since I was watching Sesame Street and he had that guy with all the plates.
Yeah,
trying to keep about 15 plates in the air on the end of those sticks. So, whether Barry is in the garage next Friday, we'll find out when we turn up if Barry's actually running the car. Because if Brody's had to force out a sponsor and all of that money, also financial, like his money, then which is, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars for the helmet. His helmet's worth probably about $400,000 or $500,000. I've heard some of the numbers that some of these helmet guys are like getting for the whole helmet, like what all the sponsors on his helmet are. They're pushing close to $1 million a year for helmet sponsorship collectively.
Yeah.
So, so does that mean that he managed to negotiate, or his lawyers managed to negotiate the original standpoint where I'm not driving for Barry, so I don't want to see Barry. I don't want to deal with Barry. I will drive. I'll come back and drive the car, but Barry's not team principal. B1 is. Brad is now the team principal. Barry has no legitimate role on race day. Let's find out if Barry's going to be at the garage next Friday, Friday week, and looking over B1's shoulder, who's now been promoted, but is he just a puppet?
There's only one of us that's going to be there next weekend, so we'll see.
Two of us.
Two of us. Are you going, mate, as well, are you?
Oh, mate. Wouldn't
are you
miss
kidding?
It.
He lives in New Zealand.
Are you going as well, are you, Dave? You
yeah, I'm going.
Oh, nice. There you go. All right. There's two of us then. There's only one of us that won't be going then.
Yeah, exactly.
100%, mate. I'm going. I'm going to catch up. Right. I mean, hopefully I won't get my car towed and I won't end up abandoned couch surfing for the weekend.
You live and learn, Dave. I'm sure you'll be a lot more onto it this time around.
So there's my point on all of this. We haven't even got to the Todd and Coey and Jade and Ojeda who misses his role yet. But yeah, what do you guys reckon? Because there's massive backflip. Someone's managed to make a massive deal here, and this is not the deal that everybody was expecting. Not the announcement we were all prepared for, which was basically Brody gets released after he has no chance to win a championship because he's already down two rounds.
Yeah, well, look, myself personally, the first thing that I thought was that Betty's clearly got much better lawyers than Brody because she's got a little bit more cash than he does. But I thought, you know, and it's just a thought and an opinion that I had, but I was assuming that he was told basically you drive for us or we're going to sue you for a breach of contract and take a lot of money out of you. But, you know, I think there may be more behind it than that, but it's just, I'm just so shocked that he's racing, that he's decided to race from after everything that he said, after everything that went on, to then come back and end up back in the team again is like, it's just added more questions to an already gigantic pile of questions in this entire saga. Like, I just, you know, and I just don't know where to go from here, to be honest with you. I'm still in shock. I'm still reeling from it because I just, as you said, who saw it coming? Nobody.
Yeah, I think the whole scenario, like when you look at the narrative that they're putting out, you know, they're still kind of basing it on the fact that, you know, he needed to take some time for health issue, you know, like to get things kind of sorted. But, you know, sponsors don't leave if your champion driver, you know, like has to miss a round or two because he can't drive, you know, like that doesn't happen. And when you've got all your main sponsors that walk, you know, where's the reasoning behind that? I just, and it's still being brushed over like nothing. It's nothing, you know, it's just crazy to think that this is what they're making, you know, they're thinking people are believing. I can't see that. I can't see how you could believe that. You know, it's for Brody, you know, and I completely am in behind, you know, if you need to take time for mental health and stuff like that, then 100% do what you got to do. That comes first. But I think, yeah, there's a lot more to the story. And
wasn't
and
a thing.
Exactly. Well, that's it. Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, and you don't want
to. It wasn't a thing. It was a line that they're towing, and now they've had to put, he's had to tow that line because that's the prepared statement that he has to agree to. So he's not allowed to answer any questions because of the gag order, or the confidentiality clause will be in play because he's under contract.
The problem with that is, though, is that he straight up said he, in his acceptance speech for the Peter Brock Medal at the awards ceremony night, he told everybody he was in good health, that there was, that his health wasn't the issue, and that there was just some things that he was working out with the team. So the fact that they're still trying to spin this bullshit that it's to do with his health is such a kick in the teeth, and it's
that's
such,
the,
you know,
line
just,
they started at Bathurst at round one, and that's the official company line,
and
he has to
disgusting.
Toe that one at the moment.
Oh,
it's disgusting.
It is. You know, like I get that they can't be completely transparent, you know, if there's all this legal stuff going on. But come on, you gotta give us something, and you know, like, just again, admit if there is an issue just between Brody and the team. Don't put it down to health, or, you know, like, you know, sell out this false thing. Because I remember when it first came out that he wasn't driving, I'm going, shit, is he okay? You know, like, is he sick? Is you know, like, is something going on? And to be put that kind of narrative out, I don't think that's fair on anyone.
No, but it's an easy one just to smooth through because nobody wants to go hard if there's mental health as a claim.
But again, that just hurts people that actually do suffer from
true.
The stuff. You know, like,
true.
So
it's a false narrative.
Exactly, false, and I don't narrative. Think that's, you know, that again, that's fair on anyone. So.
So anyway, wait and see. So that's the end of that. That's our piece. We've said our piece. We don't believe a word of the statement. Oh, I don't. I don't believe a word of that statement that come out. It's all being managed by lawyers and spin doctors, and hopefully all he has to do is drive his ass off this year and win races and take it up to the Red Bull boys, because he can take it up to Feeney and Brownie and do what he does well, which is a race car driver. Let's pull all this BS away and let him get into a fast car, because Erebus do make fast cars and he is a fast driver, and let him run the rest of this season out the best he can. And then next year, we'll just wait and see what doors are open to him, because if that RCR, NASCAR deal is now become available again, because that was an Erebus RCR arrangement, not a Brody RCR. So his pathway to America for NASCAR might be back on the boards now, which is where what he's been driving towards, is to leave and go to race NASCAR, where he started. But, you know, he's had to burn Pete along the way, and that was going to be a big leg up over there. So he might be, I know it's not him. This is not his choice. This was not his choice. So let's not be, I'm not hard on Brody for doing that, but, you know, at some point when you're a young bloke, you got to look at your future. And
that's it. And the one other thing I did want to touch on is, you know, we're talking about all this and everything and saying that, but the article that came out today, I think it was Wide World of Sports, where Steve Blackmore, another former sponsor.
I was going to mention that.
Erebus, what he said in that, and he was someone that was in that garage every race weekend last year or for the last couple of years, to come out and say what he said is indication enough that everything they're saying is complete bullshit.
Yep, 100%.
Yep.
100%. And the fact that he came out and just opened it all up, because, I mean, I know a couple of things that I'm not going to say, because I'm not going to throw him, expose all that stuff, because that was like stuff that I got told from last year about like his arrangement with the team. But he's now starting his own team. Like, he's got his own future now with the Super Utes, with Cam Crick, and Earl from Shaw and Partners is getting a second ute as well. So it's going to be a two ute team, and they're going to go play race team owners as opposed to just sponsors from the sidelines. So they're investing in motorsport, and all good with that. And he's had his time with Erebus, and Steve's just kind of doesn't give a shit. He'll say what he wants. He'll say what he wants, and did. And it was refreshing to see that he opened up and, you know, from a bloke who's from the inside looking out and now from the outside looking back in, he goes, mate, all the ingredients for the cake are still there. They're still making a cake. So you can't unscramble an omelette, but, you know, everything's still in there. So until somebody – we'll wait and see how this works out. So let's move on, boys. We spent way too much time on that. We did have the 6 hour a couple of weeks ago. Gonna skim over this. We don't need to talk about who won every single class, because there was 320 cars turning up, and that was like way too many to fit on one track. So they spread it over six categories. But the main talking points I wanted to say was, how good is multi-class racing together on the one track?
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful, like the old days, mate. You can't beat it. You know, watching these beautiful cars just make their way around the mountain and really wrestling the buggers. You know, there's just nothing better to watch.
No, that's it. Like as you said, like the good old days when you've got, you know, cars that are doing 260, 270 Ks, and another few cars doing 180, and they're all sharing the same stretch of tarmac, and just, you know, watching them have their own little battles between themselves, but also just, you know, managing to do it without too much incident and crashing into each other was just so good
this
to
is
see,
true.
Especially considering that most of them are amateurs as well. So, you know.
Yep, this is true. Way more successful than the last year. Like this is just apart from the sheer number of competitors, but well, they have 59 at the end. They were supposed to have 63 cars, but a few didn't make it during the quali and practice days. They failed. But being a production car race, literally you just go buy a car, put a roll cage in it, upgrade your brakes, put a chip in it, race.
Exactly. But again, like the old days, you know, that's what we want to see. And I think, you know, it really gets people, you know, kick up the bum if they ever want to endeavor in something like that, but don't really have too much of a budget. You know, it's like, this is my opportunity to be able to race at Bathurst, you know, and kind of live out a fantasy. So I love it. I reckon bring on more of the stuff.
If you don't have a BMW M3 or an M4, forget it. If you're going for outright.
Yeah, you're not gonna win outright on us, that's for sure. So
not a single Audi.
That's what I was about to say. Why is Audi not in this?
Because they won't last 6 hours getting punished, mate.
Yeah, that's true.
Legit. Like it, the, yeah. This is the best advertisement that BMW have globally, that they will race a production car 6 hour at Bathurst and have done since day one, dominated the outrights.
Well, and I think it's so much of an indication of how good they are that no other manufacturer is even willing to get on board, because they're just like, nah, fuck that. We're not going to win.
Nah, but it doesn't work this way, mate. It doesn't work this way. These guys go buy a $60,000 BMW, put a roll cage in it, or you're going to have to pay, what, $150 for an Audi that's going to break down along the way maybe, but it's all, like, it's cheap cars. You just go buy a parts car for $60,000.
Yeah. It's not spending
$750 on a supercar.
I do have to admit, it would be nice to see another manufacturer take it to them, but I just can't see it happening. So.
Well, build a better road car.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, HQ's had a crack. We had 51 of those guys on circuit. We all knew that was going to end in custard.
Oh, the HQs, yeah. Well, that was, you put 50 whatever, 1970s built brick, tanks, that's the word I'm looking for. Brick tanks on the track, and especially a track like Bathurst. Yeah, oh, fantastic. But
it's like the old days. Yeah,
it was never going to end with every single car coming back pristine and no dings in the panels, that's for sure.
Well, not when you're piling in at the elbow. Then, all of a sudden, there's like seven cars all piled up, tracks blocked. Oh, well, here we go.
That was always going to happen, I think, but again, good entertainment, and that was, something I think a lot of people were seeing going into the weekend that was going to happen,
Well, you guys still race the HQs in New Zealand, don't you? You still have the full solid fields over there racing HQs.
Oh, again, there's a lot of guys just passionate about their cars and just love, take any opportunity to get out them. Get them out and get on track, and we're very fortunate with the setups that we have with the tracks over here too. A lot of opportunities to get on, so and they love to run those kind of categories, and unfortunately in a way, but that's just about as good as it gets over here these days. We don't have too much in terms of top outright stuff, but I always love sitting on the hill at Hampden Downs, or going to Pukekohe back in the day and just watching the old girls go around. It's just such an awesome sight. Guys love to rap them well, and it's always something I sit down and love to watch.
Ryder Quinn pretty much tried to emulate his dad in the Mustang, and big head on in the wall at Sulaiman at the top of the mountain there, and turned his Mustang into a Ford Focus.
Yeah, that's as big a crash as I've seen there in quite a while, actually. That was when I saw the car on the side of the road, I went, you looked at it when they first panned the car, and I went, that's some pretty hefty damage. But then to see that accident and just head on into it, and there's no tires there. That's head on into concrete at 190, 200 clicks. That was a big accident.
So it wasn't quite at 190, just coming out of the chase, out of the cutting. He was on the gas and just spun it, so it would have been maybe 120, 130, but like 120 with no brakes into a concrete wall. Yeah. But luckily he's okay.
Was it just out of the cutting? I thought it was a little bit further. I was just
no
out of the
it was
cutting,
at Sulaiman. He actually hit the Sulaiman sign.
Yeah. That's
literally
right, he did.
Just
yeah,
got
yeah,
through
yeah.
Reed and then straight into Sulaiman.
No, that's right. I was thinking it was a bit further up. No, that's right. But still,
no, he wasn't at McPhillamy yet. He hadn't got to McPhillamy or the skyline.
That was a
hit. But no, luckily for him, dinosaur bumps and bruises, and he lived to fight another day. Actually, speaking of the 6 hour, the Mustangs were just doing Mustang things. They were just hitting everything. They were hitting each other. They were hitting walls. Standard Mustang fare, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, bang on. True to their name.
And then we'll finish this up on the 6 hour, because it was an amazing event. But Tommy Randall coming down the chase when Davo had that gear selection issue, trying to get out of the elbow, and he wasn't sure which way Davo was going, so just chucks two wheels on the outside and just just holds it flat and does like a Jaden Ojeda move from last year to make the overtake on Davison.
Love it. Love it. Take any opportunity, mate. Get those wheels in the grass. You got this. Keep the throttle fucking fudging pinned, and you're good to go.
You're good, mate. You're good.
That's it. And speaking of Jaden Ojeda, first and the team, first back to back and double winners of the Bathurst 6 hour as well. So kudos to them.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, true.
Good job.
Yeah, and he's got himself a GT drive too.
He has, yeah. So, you know,
which we'll get to a little bit later. All right, so that 6 hour. Oh, congratulations to Team Bacini. One out of three cars. The other two had, you know, like issues, but the girls came through, kicked ass, won Class B1 with Courtney, Carly, and
first all female pairing to ever stand on the top step of Bathurst in any race.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah. So kudos to them.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. First of many.
Yep, 100%, so, I think. Yep, won't be the last.
Seeing as now we've all become NASCAR freaks, and we all love NASCAR all of a sudden.
All of a sudden. I've been watching since the 90s, but yeah, go for it.
Well, you are my NASCAR doyen. If I need to learn something or ask a question, I'll just ask you because you actually know the answer. Well, I'm trying to learn and educate myself.
There was
a couple
a chap
of
by the name of
there.
Jeff Gordon racing cars when I first started. He was the dude in the 24, not William Byron. So
yeah, well, Byron, we'll get to that. Byron ended up lucking out because he was not leading all until the end of that carnage.
Have you been watching much of the Cup Series, Jaden, or have you just been watching the Xfinity?
Mostly Xfinity, but I've been watching the odd cup as well, you know, like just depending kind of what I'm up to and if I've got the time, but always like to, you know, see what's going on in the main series as well and you know, just get a bit of a gist of it and especially because Shane's going to be making a few more starts there this year, so I'm pumped and you know, starting to get to know a few of the personalities, and I think you know, the more I watch it, I'm just really going to get into it, eh?
Austin Hill's my guy in Xfinity. Austin Hill, I love everything about him. He's like the Greg Murphy of like Xfinity. Doesn't give a shit. He's just going to hit you. He's going to drive through. He's going to race you hard. Big fan of Austin Hill.
So I haven't ever since Jeff Gordon retired, I haven't actually gone and picked myself another actual driver to follow yet. The only driver that I do love, just because it's pretty much the same shit that you've just mentioned. He just gives no shits and does what he wants to do. Is Rowdy Kyle Busch, because he just couldn't care less. Like he's just in it for himself, and you know that's what I like about it.
I'm a big fan of Kyle Larson. Like I seriously am.
I do like Larson.
Yeah,
very big fan of Larson. Cool. Joe Logano, obviously, big fan of him. Well, not obviously, I am. I've got a top five, but apart from when Austin Hill punted Shane at Coda. And then he got punted back.
Oh, I'm so glad that Shane gave him one back. Like, you know, like that, yeah. I think that was the moment they were going to find out whether or not Shane will take it or not. You know, and he's like, nah, mate, I'm going to fold the bonnet up. You know, I'm really going to get into it.
I think he pushed him the whole way
through that corner.
Yeah.
I think he hit him that wasn't a bump. He thought he was going to.
The rear wheels probably weren't touching the ground on that one. That was that was a goodie. But again, fair play, and you know, talk to anyone but Austin. I think everyone agreed that, you know, it was tit for tat. You know, he gave him one 100%. Early, and he gave him one back.
Yeah, 100%. And that was that, as you said, that was Shane. Shane has to, you know, if he wants to keep racing in NASCAR, he's got to show that he's not. You know, if you're going to give it to him, he's going to give it straight back to you. And he done that. And then some with that pump back on Austin Hill, that's for sure.
Oh, that's it. And I think that's cool, you know, and I think a lot of the locals will be like, sweet, okay, this guy's, you know, he's in the right place. This should be good fun. And I really can't wait. Hey, I think the more he gets the kind of knack of how these guys do it, it's going to be entertaining to watch.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, the thing is, Shane is used to leaning on guys here within our very, very narrow window of acceptability. If he tries to use the supercars tactic in NASCAR, mate, you're done. Like, you got to, like, ramp that up 1,000%. Like, you can literally just drive through guys here now. You can do what you want to do. You can lean on a guy and use them up and just push them and just take their aero and tap them and everything's all square.
Well, the thing that he's introducing to a lot of them is, you know, a lot of these other kind of tactics, because Shane hasn't been able to use the bumper in supercars, he's had to learn different ways to be able to pass. And you know, like, and they keep going on about his switchbacks at Coda because, you know, like, he was just, these guys couldn't believe how well he was doing it. And it's like, this is what he was doing all the time down here, you know.
Yeah, correct.
That was the way of racing. So I think that that's a positive. But now, yeah, he's got to learn the other side of it and go, okay, I can do this. You know, what's too far, which unfortunately that line's pretty far. But, you know, I think once he gets the gist of that side, I think he's going to be a weapon, eh? Like, already, you look at him in the oval races and that, he's already, you know, showing good pace and you know, he's not far off. And you give him time and he'll be there.
Well, the thing is, in the oval races is, and this is 100% why they've the teams that have got him into NASCAR have got him into NASCAR, is because they know for a fact that he's amazing on road and street courses, and that he's most likely, now that they've got seven of them in a year, he's going to win one of those races. And the fact that he showed that he can stay consistently inside the top 20, even work his way up into the top 15 and top 10, is going to put him in a position where he's going to be battling for championships at the end of the year. And that's why these teams have put him in NASCAR. And he's gonna do it. He's already there. He's already up the front. Give him another 12 months and he's going to be a consistent front runner, I reckon.
It was a real shame that Coda didn't go his way, because that would have put that in the box. And then the rest of the season, he can just learn.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Like, you bank it. You bank a win.
But Shane loves a good carrot, you know, like he loves, you know, like that. That'll just be a little bit of extra motivation for him. And I'm sure, you know, when they get to Chicago, especially, he'll be wanting to smash that up again. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. And Shane, you look at all the stuff he's done, you know, he learns quick, you know, like he's done a lot of different disciplines and
it
motorsport.
It also depends,
you know,
on his car and his pit crew too, because that's like having been the best, like, help for him. Position-wise, for sure,
but you know he'll get there, and like any good driver, you know he'll find himself in a good team, and you know I think he'll, you know, hopefully they can step it up a little bit, but yeah,
I'll stay with Coleg because Trackhouse have got that arrangement for him just to learn his way, so.
Yeah, well, and the main thing is he's got, you know, that Trackhouse support, and you know they can put together a good car. So, you know, going forward, when he gets that full time cup, I think you know it's going to be something great to watch, because you know he started in quads, he ended up in, you know, open wheelers, rally, anything, you know, that guy can drive. So and he's done thousands of iRacing races on ovals and you know I think he understands the kind of the way it works, and you know he'll
has to feel it.
That's it. And you know you look at how quickly he adapts to this stuff. You know, I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do over there. I think once he gets the knack, he'll be mega.
Well, I was going to say to you, like, with the dangling the carrot in front of him, or, you know, setbacks actually spurring him on, was it Rally New Zealand 2022, I think, when he his first ever rally, and he had the crash or the off on the first day of the rally, and then he comes back and finishes bloody second overall. And I'm like, you know, in the whole rally, and I'm like, that's what he does. He has a setback or he has something that puts him back, and he just goes, no, fuck this. I'm gonna push myself even harder now, because I'm going to show what I can be done. Yeah.
Oh, and you know, I can think of a few scenarios where, you know, he did that perfectly, like 2016 when he was going to win his first championship in Sydney, in Olympic Park, and he ended up punting, was it Frosty or someone, and he ended up getting a drive through because he was driving conservatively, and then as soon as that happened and he was down the pack, he had to finish third, I think. You know, he just went absolute apeshit because he goes, you know, this is it. This is my motivation. I'm pissed. Let's do it. And then he just flies through and ends up, you know, winning it. Then and you know it's the same at Pookie, you know, when he got that 5 second penalty for giving Scott unloaded him at the hairpin, and you know he just went absolute ape, and again just did it because he had that extra motivation, extra kick up the bum, and man,
up until then he was just driving that he needed to. Then he had, like, the bar got moved.
Exactly. And I'll
tell you what, that now. I'll just do that.
Exactly. He can pull it out. You know, he can absolutely pull it out, and you know, saw it on that last lap. You know, in Kota in the Xfinity series, you know, like he after getting pushed back at that restart, he was just again going ape, going, I'm still going to fight for this win.
Yeah, 100%.
You know? And so, yeah, I'm just can't wait to see what he can do.
And last is sitting back watching these two go and going, oh, mate, I'm just going to wait for these two to run each other off the circuit, which is exactly what happened. He's going to drill him. He's going, oh, look, he drilled him. Thanks, boys.
Oh. And he would have seen that coming as soon as, and that's why he would have been like,
he watched it, the lap before, Shane. Nah, this is coming. There's payback here.
Yeah, go on, Shane. Have a go, mate. Have a go. You know, it's great.
Did you guys watch the trucks? Did you watch the trucks this weekend at Bartonsville?
I watched the highlights of it. I didn't watch the whole race.
Yeah, holy hell, Martinsville! Me as a NASCAR virgin, not knowing all these circuits, right? This short track circuit stuff. Do not try to make a third lane. There's no room for three cars wide on this circuit. Like, and I saw a couple of guys try to force their way up the middle, and it did become successful for one of them, as you got both doors bashed the shit out of as he was trying to push his way through because there's no room. But Cammy Waters had a go in the trucks this weekend. That was his first crack, and he was doing just perfectly fine. Like, he's down the back half of the field, and that's okay. He's kept his nose clean. He did have a spin, but he recovered and kept going around, and that was all good. 20 laps to go. I don't know what happened. They must have all put some Gatorade, some Red Bull.
Martinsville happened is what happened.
Oh, Martinsville happened. They must have taken a sip, and they've all had, like, guarana or friggin' something in their water bottles because all hell broke loose. Everybody's now crashing like it's the new Vogue and causing all kinds of carnage. So Waters is caught up. He's towards the back. So you know you're gonna get in a bit of strife. There's a bit of a wreck happening in front of him. So the guy's in front, his teammate lifts because he has to work out which way he's going. And Cam's doesn't and just literally drove right into the ass of his teammate's car. And then turned into Bill the Steam Shovel from Mr. Squiggle and was just pumping
that
steam.
That was impressive.
Out the front.
Like, I've you know, watching NASCAR for 25, 30 years, I've seen a lot of steam coming out of the cars before, but that was impressive.
Not like that
was an impressive amount of steam. Yeah, that was full on.
It looked like Puffing Billy, for God's sake. It was literally funneling steam like it had a chimney. And
yeah, no, that was impressive. I didn't actually realize it was Cam at the time. I didn't until you till you posted that post. I had no idea. I didn't even realize that was Cam that had
Yeah, he was in the trade of you. All right, move on. Xfinity, that again at Martinsville, the bull ring again. That seemed to be a relatively clean race until the end again when all hell broke loose. And
the trend here.
Sorry?
Yeah. I said there's a trend here.
Oh, well, yeah, we haven't even got the cup yet. And Almirola, he won a four-lap shootout because it was a caution just before the end of the race, and he was in that pack, and he ended up taking a benefit because I think, what was his name, ended up running a bit wide, like in a turn, and just riding to the high line, just pushing up towards the wall and let him through.
Chase.
Smith, Creed, Chase. And Mayer. Smith ran Creed wide. He bounced into him. These two were in front of
Almirola.
That guy. Yeah, so there's a four-way battle for the win, and that got exciting. But that was also for $100,000. These guys get paid to win.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, if you needed more incentive, eh?
Supercars, well, this Dash for Cash thing, like it's the top four guys, and he is not going to play in the next round at Texas because he's only a part-time driver. He's not eligible for that one, but supercars don't get paid. Not since the old Tony Cochran days, Australian Touring Car, when there was no Bob Jane days, when the Bob Jane
yeah,
days.
Bob Jane.
We had prize money, you know, up for wins. So, you know, $100,000
for
the
lot
next
of money.
Four rounds.
Yep.
It's worth punting a bloke, isn't it?
Oh, damn straight. I tell you what, I'd do it for less, that's for sure. I'd do it for a lot less, mate. Give me 100, I'll go for it. No worries.
And then we had the cup race yesterday. Yesterday, the day of Monday morning. It's yesterday. Hendrick took all the top 1, 2, and 3. Their little reds, the Hendrick reds on their 40th anniversary for the team.
The 40th anniversary, I believe it was the 40th anniversary of their first win in NASCAR.
Was that what it was?
So it was the 40th anniversary of Rick Hendrick's first win in NASCAR. So they all had the Hendrick burgundy colors, which those cars look nice. They all look so cool.
They
in
did.
The, like,
they
oh,
did.
Absolutely.
Color.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for him to pull a 1, 2, 3, which is the first time that he's ever done it at Martinsville. I think they've done it a few times at other tracks, but it's the first time Hendrick's ever done 1, 2, 3 at Martinsville in their 40-plus years.
Yeah, it was the first
the
time in
sport.
History they said that one team's done a 1, 2, 3.
I didn't realise
they were talking only at Martinsville. I thought they were talking about in NASCAR as a general.
No, it was in Martinsville. No, I think Hendrick's done 1, 2, 3s in races before, I think. So, or might, maybe it was. I'm pretty sure it was at Martinsville.
They were saying it's
the
first time in history it's ever happened. So.
Oh, really? I might have to look into that. But I swear Hendrick's done 1, 2, 3 before. So, but could be wrong. I'll look it up. But it's good to see. Speaking of Hendrick, though, one thing I do want to say is going back to SVG as well. I would not be surprised to, in a couple of years' time, if he starts doing well, to see him in one of those Hendrick Motorsports cars.
That would be wicked.
Rick Hendrick knows talent when he sees it, and if he can get him and put him in a car that's going to be capable of consistently winning, he will do it.
Oh, I reckon that'd be mega. You know, like, again, we'll see,
what about
see
Joe
how
Gibbs?
The next year or two unfolds. But I think, I think there's a lot on the horizon if he can tee up with, you know, accomplished team. That would just be mega, I reckon.
Yeah. You said Joe Gibbs. I don't think he's going to race for a Japanese brand, to be honest with you. He's not too fond of the Toyotas or anything. So I can't see.
They're doing just fine at the moment. Toyota's actually kicking ass.
I know they're doing just fine, but I just can't see Gizzy putting himself in a Toyota. So
it's just a body shell, mate. Everything's the same underneath.
I know. But no, he's
If you're getting paid to race, mate, you're getting paid to race. If someone's going to rip a fucking sticker off your helmet just to make it fucking work, I'm pretty sure someone's going to put a seat in a Toyota. So
I'd prefer to see him in a Hendrick's car anyway, because I've been a fan of Hendrick Motorsports since I started watching NASCAR as a wee lad. So,
well, there's JRM as well.
Fair enough.
Dale Jr., you can go race with him.
Yeah, but he's not as successful as Hendrick.
No, they're not saying he is. All right, boys, that's the NASCAR wrap up, because I'm getting into it now. Like, I really am. I'm enjoying NASCAR. I'm trying to learn all the rules and the strategies and all the podcasts I listen to, which are filling me in on how it works, which is ace. This week, Corey LaJoie is going ballistic. You thought we had issues with our sports supercars with parity and administration and finances and paybacks from the bosses to the teams, mate. It's the same. I'm listening to this potty at the moment, and it is identical to the bull crap we've been putting up with from supercars for the last few years. NASCAR are no different to us. 100% no different to us.
NASCAR's about as corrupt as they can come when it comes to motorsports. So
No, it's not corruption. He's not talking corruption. He's talking about they had a campaign for parity. They've achieved parity, and now they're wondering why nobody can pass. They've limited the horsepower on the engines. He's a horsepower guy. He wants smaller tires, bigger engines, and other guys are going, no, we can work with a 650 horsepower motor instead of, like, we can turn it up to a 750, 800 horsepower overnight. Engine builders have said, yeah, they can do all that. But all the same bullshit we've been dealing with the last few years in supercars, with getting the right car, the right package, parity, and, you know, payments to the teams and disbursements, NASCAR's been doing the same thing. We just didn't know about it because no one paid attention. They're in the same boat that we're at.
NASCAR are probably a little bit better at keeping that shit quiet. And there's a lot of other stuff going on in NASCAR.
It's not being quiet. Mate, these guys
well,
are talking
so.
About it. All the teams are talking about it. All the drivers are talking about it every single week. They've been talking about it for the last few years, this new gen car.
The new gen car, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, regardless of all of that, let's move on. It's good to see that we're not on our own in global motorsport, because basically motorsport is motorsport, and it's politics and it's money and it's just crap and no one's ever happy. F1.
I probably better head off anyway, guys. So I just got a little bit late, probably ran over the time a little bit. So
yeah,
sorry guys, but
thanks.
Yeah,
for
awesome.
We've kept you up. We've talked too long about all kinds of shit. Once again, Jaden, thank you very much. Motorsport Kiwi. Where can people find you on Facey? What's your Facey page there?
So just the Motorsport Kiwi. At the Motorsport Kiwi on Instagram and Facebook. Got some exciting stuff lined up for Taupo next weekend. So definitely look out for me and the crew at Taupo. We're going to be in for a goodie. Yeah, definitely watch the space. I'm
so keen to catch up with you again at Taupo with all of your mates as well, because you got an absolutely legendary crew. They saved my butt last year at Pookie. I can give you the tip.
Oh, no, there's a lot of passionate, good people over here. And yeah, definitely looking forward to having one more when you come over. And yeah, definitely a big weekend ahead. There's going to be a great event, and can't wait to show you around.
Remember your mate's name who makes that homemade whiskey?
Oh,
homemade bourbon. I can't remember his name. Because I ended up in one of those houses, like a mate of a mate or whatever. I ended up one of those late night when I was stranded. But
yeah.
You are more than welcome to bring another one of those bottles down.
That was smooth.
It was like mother's milk. He's got it right. He's been stealing it.
Look at that, hey. He's got a knack for it. I'll have to send out some texts, and see what we can do.
You have to do a turn off on the way down when you drive down via Pookie, pick up a bottle and just bring it down. Yeah.
Oh, exactly right, mate. Yep, I think I should be able to do that. We'll definitely tee up some couple drinks. Definitely celebrate coming.
Mate, appreciate
back.
You coming on tonight. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Catch up again and get your points of view. So, just before you do go, what are we expecting to see at Pook at Taupo? Because you're the only bloke who's been there. What are we looking forward to?
Yeah, so it's a great track. Like I went a couple months ago for the historic GP, and it's a very like good track for viewing. You can see the majority of it from kind of wherever you sit. The only bit that kind of goes a little bit further is the hairpin before the long back straight. So, I think Tony's done a great job. Like the facilities are fantastic, and I think in terms of location. It's got an awesome backdrop. It's it's got a little bit of elevation. It's got a few good braking zones, and I think there'll be a bit of passing. There should be a bit of crisscrossing. There's a bit of character. It's an awesome track. Like I used to love watching NZV8s and the V8 Super Tours when we had them. They used to go around that track a lot, and it was always entertaining. So especially if we get a bit of weather, which is probably quite lightly. So it's probably going to be a pretty action-packed, and if anyone ends up on the grass, then they'll probably end up staying there, I'd say.
Yeah, right. Okay, nice. So we got 24 supercars turning up. Pretty much most of the crew, most of the drivers have been over there last weekend and last week, this week, just having a snoop with whatever, like T86s or whatever they else they can get their hands on.
They're running around in the old NZV8 Camry Toyota, that's a beautiful beast, that one. It was good to see them at the track, and again I've seen a few photos of what Tony's been doing with the stands, and having the Porsche Carrera Cup Australia coming over as well, which is awesome. To have that category over here. We used to be quite Porsche hungry over here. We used to have our own
super soft sweet Michelin rubber on the track. We can grip it up.
Oh mate, yeah. It should be cool, and it's always good to watch. I always enjoy the Porsches back in the day. So it'll be good to have them on the track, and then we've got a good variety. Got the 86s as usual, and it should be great. And I think like the six people that were allocated pit passes for the weekend are really going to enjoy going in the pits and enjoy seeing it all. Because, that's the one kind of downside to the event. One, it got sold out of just all tickets, all GA. Yeah. But within the first day of the tickets being on sale, they sold out of pit passes. So there must have been such a little amount allocated. So
you mean like paddock passes?
Paddock passes. Yeah.
I better check my ticket and see if I bought one with a paddock pass. I can't remember now. I bought it ages ago.
Oh, very, very few. So that's kind of the only downside. At least it'll be quiet for the people that did get tickets.
that's horrible.
Oh, it is. And it's even worse. I've got other mates that,
Call your mate Beto.
Well, I've got mates with accommodation that didn't actually get tickets, so they've got accommodation in Taupo, and it's like, oh, but I can't actually go to the event. So it's not something we expected. Like obviously there's only a certain amount of you know, cars to be on the road. And that's limited how many people can go. That's the only kind of downside to where it is. It's a great track and everything. It's going to be a wicked event, it's 10 but it's just a little bit more limited. It's only 10 minutes out of town, but compared to Pukekohe, which is right in the center of the township. You have the kind of infrastructure right around it. You know, you walk straight into the town, and you know, with Taupo, they've got to get everyone there and back, and it's I think that is just going to put a bit of stress on the roads, and that's just probably put the limit on it. But either way, I hope there's just some kind of, you know, opportunity for a couple extra tickets to be released on the weekend or something.
I'll see what I can do. Make a few phone calls.
That's it, because there's a few people I know out there which are definitely...
there's one bloke in particular you probably give a call and they might be able to sort someone out.
Oh, exactly, and fortunately, our mates at Boost Mobile have been handy already and definitely helped me out, because I was not going to get a paddock pass, and Jason fortunately helped me out, and as usual, I appreciate the support of Boost Mobile.
That's the one, Jason. Easy guy.
Exactly, these guys are onto it, mate. I will always be a Boost man. So 100%. Even though Brody might have pushed them aside, I'm more than happy to wear the hat.
That's it. They'll always have our backing.
Exactly right.
Still got the shirt.
Yeah. Mate, I've got all my Boost stuff, and I'll cherish it forever, mate.
When we got Bathurst, right, and I caused a bit of a ruckus wearing this shirt down the back of the pits, the Let Brody Race shirt. One of the other guys that also picked one up that night when we were out for dinner, got offered $1,500 for it.
What?
Pete only made like a dozen of them.
Yeah.
So
geez, I would have taken it.
$1,500.
He got offered $1,500. I went, really? Like, I was talking to him last night. And he goes, yeah. And I went, I'm not selling mine for $1,500. I'm keeping mine. Like, no way.
Oh, look at that. Yeah, I think a lot of people out there would have been more than happy to wear those. It's
there
a bit
was
of a shame.
Of demand. The demand exceeded supply, that is for sure.
All right, man,
I won't keep you up anymore. Thank you very much. Looking forward to catch up with you again and your crew next week. And you're in charge of all the festivities in Taupo. I'm in charge of scooters, and you're in charge of festivities.
Oh, bring it on, mate. We'll definitely have a good weekend planned, and you'll be smiling ear to ear by the time you get back on the plane.
Oh, I know it. I know it for sure. All right. Awesome. Thank you very much, Jaden. Jaden Aben.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Motorsport Kiwi on Facebook. He's the driving force behind all of the Boost Get Richie and Greg Back on Track. And once again, see you next week, bud.
Take it easy, guys. We'll see you. See you in Aotearoa next weekend.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, mate, and we'll have to get you back on soon. Cheers.
Yeah, sounds good. Anytime, guys. Just sing out. Always happy to be part of it.
Too easy. Enjoy, mate. Speak soon.
Awesome. Take it easy, guys. Have a good one, eh?
Thanks, bud. All right, Ro, just before we wrap up this one, 25 words or less, Danny Ricciardo, was it his fault or not?
I only need one, yes.
Okay, me too. I'm good with that. All right, so coming up this weekend, you and I are going to head down to Phillip Island. Are you coming down just for the Sunday?
Just be the Sunday. I may need to find a lift down there on Sunday as well, because I'm not 100% sure if Phil's coming or not yet. So we'll have to figure that one out. But
yeah, right. Okay. Well, speaking of, what we're talking about is the Speed Series down at Phillip Island this weekend. We've got six categories: TCR, Trans Am, Radicals, GT3, the debut of GT4, round one for the brand new category of pretty much product. Well, welcome to production car racing.
Yeah,
GT4
pretty much.
GT4 spec from the factory.
Straight from the factory, straight to the racetrack.
We've got the Porsche Sprint Cup, the Michelin Sprint Cup. Thank you, because it's not the noisy ones. Thank you. They're still the boring ones, but they're not the noisy ones. And it the is the Radicals? 60th anniversary of Mustang. So it's going to be like the Mustang round.
It is. So there should be plenty of accidents on track.
Yeah, well, we've got the brand new GT4 Mustang being shown, the very first.
They do, which it actually looks pretty nice. I saw a picture of it on Facebook earlier, and it looks pretty damn good, to be honest with you. So,
what do you mean? Looks like every other Mustang. Yeah, cool. It's got wings.
Yeah, well, you know, it looks nice. Yeah, it's got a few little fancy bits hanging off it that make it look prettier. So,
GT4 spec. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's nice. But no, I'm looking forward to that. So yeah, GT Fan Attack World Series GT4.
Yep.
TCRs, Trans Ams, Radicals, and Porsches. So it's an absolutely ripper lineup of cars.
There's a couple of extra TCRs racing this weekend. I think
even better.
I think Jude Bhagwan is having a go.
Oh, is he? Oh, shit.
Yeah,
Today.
With Benny. Yeah, he's jumping in. And we've got 18 Trans Ams turning up.
It's all right. Today's Tuesday.
Full field of GT3s, of course. So happy days. That's going to be a great weekend. Hopefully, Phillip Island does good weather, not Phillip Island things, which can be anywhere from burning on the surface of the sun to frozen from the depths of Antarctica.
Yeah, well, if it was anything like today, hasn't been a world of fun in Melbourne today, so.
Nah, it's been a bit chilly. All right, man, let's wrap this up. Let's knock this off. We'll do win it or bin it, and then we'll pull a pin.
All right, what do we got for win it or bin it?
So win it or bin it, rolling starts for the 6 hour.
Bin it because I'd like to see them do a standing start, but I understand why they can't.
same reason. I'm in for the chaos. You got 60 cars. Everyone's getting the flag around the corner. Floor it. Someone's out of position. Someone's going to hit someone. It's going to be chaos. Not my car, not my money, but yeah, standing starts for the chaos. Multi-class format racing. We covered this off. I'm in it. That's a win.
Yeah, 100% win. It's so awesome to see just all the cars in their own little battles having to navigate themselves around the track. I just think it makes for awesome entertainment and win it.
All right. The NASCAR app versus the Supercars app.
It's beyond win it. It's blows the Supercar app out of the water. It is, if you want to look at how to build an app for a sports brand, look at NASCAR.
That is the model. That is the number one model. It is extraordinary. It is amazing. And I'm still just using the free version. I'm not even subscribing.
And it functions.
It's extraordinary. Yes. And intuitive. And everything and more that I need is that in a clear, defined, easy navigation for a person who's never even used it. The very first time I used it, I found everything exactly where I wanted it to be. Supercars, stop using somebody's 12-year-old kid to negotiate your social fucking app.
Yeah. I mean, I've never done it before, but let me have a go. I'll do a better job.
It is ridiculous. NASCAR, big win. Now, NASCAR victory burnouts. After every single race, right? Everyone gets the cut and do burnouts up and down the lane. Right? Victory lane.
Yep.
There needs to be awarded points for a trophy at the end of the year.
Oh, the burnout
comp. And then at the end of the year, they have all of the winners who have won and do a burn off.
That would be amazing. I would pay to see that.
Is that a win it or bin it? That's a win it for me.
That's a win it, 100%.
Victory lane burnouts into a points and style competition, and then all of the winners come back at the end of the last race of the season, and at the end of the race, they just cut loose and then just do a summer nats.
And have a burnout line comp. Them up along the problem is the last race is at Phoenix, so that's not a very – oh, no, they've got a lot of actually runoff at Phoenix. No, that's a great place to do it. Yeah, hell yeah, bring it on.
Well, we've got 36 rounds, right? We're not having 36 different winners. There could be, like, only 10 dudes, maybe 15.
Even if there's 10, like, some tracks are a little bit small. They used to have the –
not
used
at
to
once, have like, one at a time. You just turn it into a thing.
Oh, yeah, no, that'd be cool. Oh, no, put them all out there at once. Fuck it, let's go.
Cool. All right, man. Well, thanks for catching up. So – coming up rounds, we've got Speed Series this weekend at Phillip Island, and we have Taupo for the very first time next weekend down in New Zealand. I'm going to take my chelly bin and get my jandals out and catch up with all my chair bros.
I was down at the beach the other day with one of my Kiwi friends, and she goes, "Oh, that's a cool chili bin." And I went, "Fuck, it's a chili bin." And I realized I'd never heard it before. Chili
millennials, you got no life experience.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Once
I loved
again,
it.
thank you very much to gamelife.com.au for sponsoring us with Jace and all of your gaming and streaming online needs and peripherals, everything you need for that. Jump onto the website, www.gamelife.com.au. Big thank you again to Jaden for jumping on my Kiwi connection, the Motorsport Kiwi. Check him out on Facebook and Instagram. Give him a follow. Give us a follow on Spotify and Google Pod and Apple Pod. Give us a rating. We need a, even if you like, give us 5 stars. You know, we won't tell anybody. Tell us, get in touch with us on Facebook with Chat with a Hat. And if we think we're talking crap, let us know. Our egos are fine. If you've got a different opinion, that's perfectly fine. Everyone's got their own perspective. We've got ours. You've heard ours. And we're just here for motorsport, mate. We just like cars going fast, and we'll still be there. So good luck to 100%. Brody ever in New Zealand.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how he goes coming back and the dynamic with the team and everything like that. So, yeah, it's, you know, good to see him back on track. Wish it wasn't with Erebus, but it is good nonetheless to see him back in a race car, and hopefully he does well.
Mate, Erebus make fast cars. He's a fast driver. You know, if you can put away the head space, the head noise, then get into it.
Yeah, 100%.
Go give it up to the Red Bull boys because they're starting to run away.
Yeah, someone's got to do it.
Yep, and it's on Brody. So get into it, but get into it, Bush. All right, mate, I'll see you on Sunday down at Phillip Island, down at PI.
Shall indeed, yeah. It's going to be a good one. I've just checked the weather. It doesn't look like it's going to be raining, but it is Melbourne, so you never know.
Ah, perfect. All right, thanks again for listening, everybody. We'll catch up with you in a week or two. So have a good one.
Peace out.